For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
This just in. Stupidity has taken over the world. Not the normal kind of stupid. The advanced kind. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. We had entire training courses. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
Interesting statement. I'd love for you to weigh in on that. What do you think of that? This is the Kate Daly Show, and I'm Kate Daly, and I'm glad to be here on a Friday. I want to know. I actually do. I want to know what you think about the laughter that came from the audience. Were you a little surprised to hear that? That was Mike Pompeo, by the way. I'm not his biggest fan, and I'm a conservative, and I am not his biggest fan. I don't like Bolton either. But when he said that, I was more stunned at the audience and what they did rather than even what he said, because I think what he said about the CIA, I hope that people are finally catching on that that is truly what it's about. But what did you think about the audience reaction? The total laughter, the cheering on. 888-673-1450. Let me play it for you again. Here you go.
I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It's like we had entire training courses.
Listen to that.
It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
Is it the glory of the American experiment? What is the American experiment? In his eyes, I would say I would know what that is, because the country has been an exercise in what if the people were supposed to own their government. And I have to say supposed to, because we don't anymore. But here we are, and we have a crowd of people that are cheering on. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we even murder. And it's okay, I guess. And not only just okay, that there's the cheering on of it. It was stunning to me. I thought we are really in a harsh state and understanding of what we are supposed to be doing, not only here in this country, but out in the world. And, you know, on Fridays, we tackle a lot of foreign news as well. And I'll probably tackle just a little bit. But as far as China goes, I want to talk a little bit more about China. Gosh, China's cropping up every 5 seconds. And it has been, obviously, for a very, very long time. But why? And where are we headed? It gets very interesting. So I know Susan's going to be joining me on the show soon, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Sri Lanka and what happened, and also some odd things around that as well, some curious things that I want to discuss too. But I think what we're looking at here is a bigger problem of how we view the CIA and what they do, and how most of America seems to be just okay with that. That worries me. There was a huge article about shadow wars that just came out. And it turns out Americans have no clue about all the secretive U.S. military ops that are going on. In Africa specifically was what this one was dealing with. But I could probably take Africa out and you could put just about every country right now. So it talked about a recent report, and it was detailing the size and scope of U.S. military operations in Africa. And it's really gone largely unnoticed. The media stays away from it. Why? And that Americans are pretty much still unaware of all of the activities across, well, this continent in particular. But between 2013 and 2017, U.S. Special Forces, Operations Forces, were carried out combat missions in at least 13 different African nations. Did you know that? The outlet identified 36 recent ongoing military operations across Africa. It was pretty much a startling figure. I think people are kind of startled to find out just how many. I think they know we're in Africa, but I don't think most Americans realize what we're doing. That's bothersome. And they were asking people on the streets of New York, oh, why do they pick New York? God. Oh, the average idiot, New York. If they recognized any of the cryptic names used by the U.S. military for their Africa operations, but nobody was really able to make the connection. And I think what's going on here with this is a symptom of a bigger problem, and that is that we don't know why we're doing what we're doing. I did a show recently, and it was actually on the reruns, I think, for last week, and it talked about specifically that we have more suicide than ever going on with our troops. We have more problems than ever, and we're not even at war. We're not even at war, technically. And isn't it sad that I have to say technically? We haven't been in a declared war for how many decades? Yet our suicide rate is going up. The problems of these tours and what that is causing, the multiple tours, that's another issue. One in four is diagnosed with a mental disease, a mental illness. And here we are, not at war, supposedly, but we have military actions in so many different areas, in 13 African nations. And it's always about our interests. I was always one that was for, I never even questioned military for a very large part of my life. I never looked at it that way. I never questioned it. I thought that whatever we did was the right thing. Maybe I was watching too many movies. Probably. I always thought it was the right thing. I always thought that whatever, if we had to go in, boy, we had to go in and put our guys in harm's way. And that's exactly what we had to do. And you know what? End of story, don't ask questions, and just grateful we have a military that will go. I still am grateful that we have a military that will go. I have family in the military. But I look at it much, much differently now. And I look at all of the things that we're engaged in and everything that we're doing. And I think not only do we not know what's going on, we don't know for what reason. And I'm sorry, the word interests doesn't cover it anymore, shouldn't cover it for the American people. We have too many, I think we have too many resources at our fingertips. We have too many ways to get our hands on information now that I think that even now, even with the use of the internet, even with the use of all that we have before us, why are we not seeking out, even in foreign news, maybe going outside the bounds of the United States to figure out and find out what's going on? Why are we not doing that as Americans? Why are we just accepting that it's okay to be over in Africa for whatever we're doing? And it doesn't matter what. And we should just say that it's for the betterment of the United States and close the door and end of story. Do you have a problem with Pompeo saying that? Do you have a problem with him saying, well, the CIA lies, cheats, and steals, and it's funny, and it's hilarious, and it's the global, it's what makes the global American experiment work. It's great. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, do we realize the activities that have gone on? Do we realize what's actually happened here? There's some great documentation. I've got to get that list up on the Kate Daly Show that talks on Facebook that talks about all the different coups and all the different activities that the CIA has been engaged in. And you'll usually find two things. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this with Susan. But the two things I find most interesting are, and I've talked about this on the show, and there now have been other people pointing this out, so I know I'm not the only one seeing it. There's two things. Number one, you'll have some sort of revolution, some sort of group that's in there that's identified, color revolution, whatever you want to call it. There will be some sort of revolution going on where in some way we're aiding and abetting that group in some way. That is usually the initial cause of whatever's going on, right? Whatever becomes bigger and steeped in more controversy. How does that group land there and why? Who funds them? The CIA already admitted that they helped fund ISIS, right? And Al-Qaeda. And so we have a lot of record of this. Even Rand Paul was out there going, are you kidding me? They were funding it. Yet Americans don't seem to care. Why? Why aren't we caring? We care about ISIS when it's in the news. Everybody runs for cover because we're in fear. But we don't worry about the fact that we have an organized group that is born and raised here, that is funded by here, that is seeking to go out to do these kinds of things. The other thing that happens is we have telecom companies, data companies, that go to certain cities and go to certain countries before big things are happening. Has anyone been noticing this? This is a big, big point, and I hope it's not lost on me just saying it and then that's it. The telecom companies, the race for who owns what. There's all the copyright wars. There's everything going on right now. Why do you think that's going on? The telecom war is a huge war between us and China right now. And there should be things that need to be talked about with that alone. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kate, Sam calling.
Hi, Sam.
First of all, something I've been saying is, you know, I remember when Pompeo was being considered, you know, there were some out there talking in Christian circles about what a Christian man he is. And that is, the thing everybody's got to understand is a lot of people out there that will use the Christian label until they get elected and then they do their dirty deeds. And I don't call that very Christian-like to be involved in some of the stuff like the, you know, like the CIA,
right.
Some of them are involved in.
Right.
Now, the second part of this that has come into my mind a long time ago. I don't even trust them as far as these groups they claim, like, for example, ISIS. How many of these things have we had a hand in helping create?
Exactly. That's
usually what
point.
Happens is we create them supposedly under the guise of going after an enemy, and then they just mysteriously turn on us. And I'm thinking the military-industrial complex would not be in business if it didn't constantly have boogeymen to fight all the time. And that's the thing I think people have got to get their arms around in all of this.
Right.
And my final comment on this is that what really concerns me more than anything else is that given how they lie all the time, if we really did have a legitimate reason to go to war, we would never know because they're lying to us all the time.
Yeah, you're exactly right on that. That's what's bothering me. When everybody was cheering in the audience, I thought, does anyone care with the activities that they're conducting and doing? Does anyone care? Because we should, because it's playing out in a big, big way right now and affecting our country in a very negative way right now. And nobody wants to claim it or say it. And I thought the cheering was just insane. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you. Be right back. Stay with me.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Trouble, been dog in my school since the day I was born.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here, and you can go to katedalyradio.com. You can get the podcast. Also, email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. If you have any questions about the show or comments, I love them, and so keep them coming. It's great to hear from you. Even the negative is fun. Actually, I like it. I don't know why. Glutton for punishment. I don't know, but I learn. I learn from it, and I love it. Aren't we on this quest to learn? That's what I'm here for. So I was just questioning, and I'll take your calls too, 888-673-1450. I was just talking, if you're just joining us, about the fact that we're conducting all these operations in Africa, 13 different nations in Africa, and we don't even know that as a public. We don't know what we're doing, and we're all over doing all kinds of military actions. We're technically not even at war. Yet we have all of these things going on with our military, with the suicide rate being high, and we're not even at war. And I think people don't stop to think about that. Why are we still in all of these places, and what are we doing? And so they were kind of curious. They were asking New Yorkers, you know, how they felt about it. And a lot of people just didn't even know or care to know. When Mike Pompeo came out and talked about this week of course, I was director of the CIA. The CIA lies, cheats, and steals. Yeah, even murder. Yep, we do that too. It's part of the global American experiment. That was never what the founding fathers thought we would do and thought we would be. It's stunning. What was more stunning was the audience. The audience was cheering, literally cheering. Clapping, thought it was funny, laughing. And so what are we doing? And why, if this is the case, why are we okay with somebody like this going from CIA director to Secretary of State? Why? Why are we okay with that as a public? You know, George Bush did it. We've had, there have been others along the way. This has been kind of interesting to see how people are put into that position. And I don't see if you can name the good things that come out of the CIA, I'm all ears, because I actually would love to know. With all the research I've done and the reading I've done, it's been really disheartening. And to look at what they've been about since their inception. And a lot of people still think that they're spying because they're getting the bad guy that wants to come into the country. But what about if they're creating the bad guy? Does that bother us? Does it bother us that as far as Mike Pompeo talking about the fact that, we had whole training programs for how to lie and cheat and steal and murder the best. Are you not totally abhorred by that? I am. Now, the caller, Sam, was talking about, you know, a lot of Christians really like Mike Pompeo. I know people that know him personally and think the world of him and just what a great man he is. I look at what's going on around the country right now and what we're doing in the Middle East and what he is calling for, what Bolton's calling for. And no, I'm not okay with it at all. There was a great piece by Engdahl that was written about color revolutions. Remember I said there's usually two things that have been showing up, kind of interesting, kind of the forebears before something starts to go awry in these countries. All of a sudden you'll see a revolution. All of a sudden you'll see these opposition groups. And then all of a sudden you'll see them funded. Nobody ever questioned why ISIS had matching outfits. White and black matching outfits, Toyota trucks, all of these things that, I'm sorry, over there, they don't wear matching outfits. But for some reason, the U.S., we never questioned this, and I don't know why. It got more and more obvious as we went along, especially when the CIA even admitted that they were funding ISIS. But also admitting to the funding, you know, by Rand Paul and also these other people that came out and talked about it. I'm glad that he did. He was bold to do it. And so the U.S. Agency for International Development, you said, is widely known as a CIA front. And they have channeled, CERB, OTPOR, millions of dollars in funds through commercial contractors, through the U.S. government-financed NGOs that we've talked about on the show, non-governmental agencies and organizations, if you will, and the National Endowment for Democracy, NED. You said, and NED, and the National Democracy Democratic Institute, I'm sorry, and the International Republican Institute. The Open Society Institute of George Soros was also funneling money into these same organizations for the toppling the dictators that every dictator that comes along that we want to replace. So I know that William Engdahl was talking about that he has yet to find a CIA and U.S. State Department regime change or color revolution in which the democracy building foundations of Soros were not in a kind of harmony with the Washington State Department and CIA agenda. is, you said, a front for the CIA. They have to operate in ways that you can't directly tie them or directly put them in this situation, because if you do, well, I would hope that the American people would rise up and say that this is not permissible. But there is heavy documentation that these are fronts. Why are we still not, as an American populace, going after this and making sure? A lot are. There are people out there that are. And there are people out there that are trying to make it more known. Because we shouldn't be standing for it. As a Christian, you shouldn't be standing for it. I should be totally abhorred at this, and I am. So I think when we get into the NGOs being recipients of millions of dollars that are funneled through those to go in and be a catalyst for forming groups, funding groups, putting groups into situations. I know with the 60s, I don't know if anyone really, I know we've talked about this on the show, but in the 60s, do you remember the activists, the ones that would just sort of pop up and get things rolling and get things started? There was a lot of talk from the 60s on that they were creations of the CIA. And that they were put there for a reason, to start something. And then when you start something, people gravitate toward it. They want to be part of a cause, especially young people. They want to be part of change. They don't know where that change is headed. They don't know where it's going. They just want to be part of a movement, part of something big, part of something that stands against the man, you know. But they don't know the backing of the group, where from whence it came, or also what the goal is of those certain groups. And that's what I get really worried about as I'm constantly reading about all of these situations. There's also one called Canvas. Canvas is another one. There's so many of them. There's just not enough. That actually stands for Center of Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies. Calls itself a nonprofit, non-governmental. They are anything but governmental. They are everything. They're governmental, but non-governmental. So, of course, they are governmental. They're governmental because they have to get their money somehow, some way, and this is usually how they're doing it. I think what's been kind of interesting in the latest things, because I said there's two things that show up in a country. You have a revolution. Something has to start it. Remember, nothing spontaneous just happens. And then also you have the telecom, the big data organizations. And I know that there is a huge, I'm going to say instances where I've been noticing that telecom companies, different data collection companies, because telecom's a big one, are arriving in countries prior to events happening. Isn't that interesting? I find it kind of interesting. We have the 5G wireless technology, right? It's going to change the world, and not for the good. It's going to change the world because what? What's the benefit? Oh, yeah, the faster speed. I guess the speed of light isn't fast enough for a lot of people, so we got to go faster than that. And so now they're saying there's a huge challenge for policymakers to ensure that our nations benefit from 5G's promise while minimizing the risks. Okay? Think about that statement. Okay. So they want it. They're putting it out there that they want to minimize the risk. Yeah, right. Anyway, foremost among these risks is information security. So given this deep security, the commercial ties that bind this transatlantic community that we all are in globally, right? The Western aligned countries must band together in order to ensure that we have a secure flow of information across the globe. So the United Kingdom allowing China into its 5G network threatens to undermine that unity, right? China wants this. China wants to be at the helm. And so if the United States and United Kingdom do not lead their partners in this, okay, in their Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance and NATO in order to ensure 5G networks, no one will. So this was a call for this to happen by Mike Gallagher, representing Wisconsin's 8th district. And he talked about Chinese telecommunications firms, about having been demonstrated that they pose a significant threat to the future security of global 5G networks. There's a lot of buyouts or a lot of supposed things going on right now in a vie for control over who gets to control it, who owns it, who owns the patents, who gets to control a lot of information. And, of course, this is all about information, the information connection, right? And the Department of Defense is already experimenting with how 5G can improve intelligence sharing and military operations, and talking about all of these things. But this is truly a huge war going on right now that we're not, I don't think we're really truly recognizing what it's about. I think that's, it's becoming a huge issue, a very big problem, because Trump, the China trade war has a deeper agenda. And what's going on with China, not necessarily Trump as much as just China, what's going on with China and us and EU and other trade partners, who's vying for whose attention, who wants to partner with whom, who's going to get the ownership on this? We had the ownership on the petrodollar. And what is this going to look like in the future? When events happen, like in New Zealand and Sri Lanka, what I find kind of interesting is that certain companies are showing up there in the data sector, in the telecom sector beforehand. And there's other people that are talking about this too, not just me. And I'm learning from them as well. But I covered a story, and I cannot tell you, I cannot remember what show it was in. Sometimes it's a blur. 3 hours a day, I do a blur. But let me say this, that there have been big companies that are going in, vying for ownership, plant their roots. All of a sudden, events happen. Mass events, tragic events happen. And I think it's something to keep our eye on. I think that we underestimate what those telecom companies and what the information gatherers, what they're willing to do to get control, and that how much of our involvement with other countries is because of that. You also have everything else we always talk about as far as, you know, pipelines and utilities and oil and everything else. But information is usually overlooked. The data sector, telecom sector is overlooked. Just bringing that to your attention. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Jared Wheeler here. St. George.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I could escape this feeling. It's my China girl.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Glad that you're listening in today on a Friday. Talking a little bit about foreign politics today, because usually we do on Friday, but... Just some different things to think about. Maybe what's showing up before big events happen that seem to be a little bit more noticeable. And I might get into that a little bit with Susan at the top of the hour, talking a little bit about Sri Lanka. But anyway, going back to Five Eyes and 5G and how much this plays into what we're talking about. We have... Mike Pompeo today, if you're just joining us, he was talking about how the CIA lies, cheats, and steals, and it's totally fine, and yahoo, and they have full training courses on it. Don't anyone worry about that. And that somehow we're okay with this, I guess, because the audience was cheering and laughing and thinking it was the funniest thing ever. And then we also have, we also know that oil and that utilities and pipelines are a huge big deal, because there's countries right now partnering with other countries and working out agreements and trying to form alliances to make sure that they reap the benefit for their countries in the Middle East and China. We talk about this on the show all the time. So with that being said, you know, 5G, Five Eyes, how much of this also is playing a part? Because there's been a big, I would say, call out, and even elected legislators are talking about how, oh boy, we better make sure we're on top of this. We better make sure we're on top of 5G, make sure we're on top generally. China 2030 is a very interesting, is an interesting document, and it calls for China to complete radical market reforms. And it states that it is imperative that China develop a market-based system with a sound, with sound foundations, while a vigorous private sector plays the more important role of driving growth. And the report was co-signed then by the Chinese Finance Ministry and State Council, and it declared that China's strategy toward the world will need to be governed by a few key principles: open markets, fairness and equity, mutually beneficial cooperation, global inclusiveness, and sustainable development. Now, as I say that, let me say that again. This they had to be governed by a few key principles. Listen, open markets, fairness and equity, mutually beneficial cooperation, global inclusiveness, and sustainable development. In the Sri Lanka bombing, by the way, what I found kind of interesting is one of the four United States, and I'll talk about this with Susan, we'll go a little bit more in depth, but one of the four was a child that went to Sidwell Friends School in Washington, D.C. It is the school where Obama sent his kids, Biden, you name it, they send their kids, and a long history of children in the White House or children of in Washington, D.C., if they can pay the $40,000 a year tuition, they're sent to this particular private school. And guess who the sister school is? The sister school is in China. In fact, they have a sister school in Australia, too, kind of around the same thing as the Five Eyes, those five countries, but also significant presence in China where the kids go abroad in China. And do you know what their whole mantra is on their whole selling technique for their school? Their whole entire curriculum is based around the exact same principles in China 2030. In fact, they tout this as something that is so progressive and so amazing that they are so proud that their students are learning global citizenship, environmental stewardship, equity. Remember how I just said that? Equity, justice, community, and then they go to service. What I find kind of it really mirrors what's in 2030. It really mirrors what progressive liberals are kind of basing everything on. And that is the exact same key points. Open markets, fairness and equity, mutually beneficial cooperation, global inclusiveness, and sustainable development. And these kids that are leaving the school, they were interviewing some of these kids, and it was as if they were just poster children for the UN initiatives, for 2030 initiatives. It was like the most indoctrination I think I've ever seen. These kids were more or less solely preoccupied with these things. Clinton's daughter went there. Al Gore's. I mean, you name it. The list is so long on kids that go to these certain firms or these certain schools from K through 12, and then also go on to go over to China. A lot of people spend a lot of time going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to China. We have such a relationship with China. Biden was just in China, right? Biden just got money from China. China just keeps cropping up in just about every daily news story on these relationships we have with China. And so the document calls for China to emerge from its initial stage as an economy assembling technologies for Apple and GM under license, because right now they're assembling technologies for Apple and GM under a license to become self-sufficient in its own technology. What does that mean? That means taking over the ownership of it. So the dramatic success of China mobile phone company, Huawei, however you want to say that, H-U-A-W-E-I, to rival Apple or Samsung is a case in point. Remember the arrest in Canada? Remember the arrest in Canada? That came from this company, too. The woman? Okay. So China 2025 is a strategy to support the development, much as what was done in Germany after 1871 with Made in Germany. In the space of 30 years, German manufacturers went from a position of low quality to one of the highest quality standards. And the Chinese are well aware of that model. the China sanctions are being drawn up from the Office of the United States Trade Representation, and the USTR first report, some 200 pages. It goes into what it calls China's unfair trade practices, accusing her of disregard for intellectual property rights. Have you noticed that intellectual property rights keeps coming up again and again? Yeah. Discrimination against foreign firms, use of preferential industrial policies to unfairly bolster Chinese firms. The USTR report by name cities made in China 2025 as the offending strategy of that Trump tariffs aim to change. Right. And so there's so much of a war going on with this right now. 2025 China is the current blueprint to turn China into this world-class high-technology economy, exporting its own high-speed, you know, speed rail technology, aircraft, vehicle, electric vehicles, robotics. AI is a huge thing that we have to keep our eye on, because I think it actually enters the picture more than we think it does on vying for who gets control and who's going to control this territory. And so when I see a lot of leaders going over and meeting with China, aren't you kind of wondering about that? Not that they haven't been. Of course, we've been doing this for decades. But right now, there's such a race for this. There's such there's just so many things going on around it. So there's a lot of leading edge technologies that play themselves into this, too. It's funny how much Germany comes up, China comes up, and the U.S., and how much just overall, I can't even tell you all of the stories. It's like you always look for certain things to pop out at you, and what I'm noticing is certain things lately, within the last decade, are getting more and more interesting in the development of AI and telecom, so keep your eye on that. And I'll probably have William Engdahl on to talk a little bit more about this. He did some very, very in-depth reporting on this. I also wrote a book about it, and I would be glad to have him on, because there was an editorial in the official Beijing Global Times, and it suggested that China has no intent to back down or revert to the World Bank agenda. And so it said, you know, Washington wanted to demonstrate its authority in the world, but unfortunately it gambled badly. The entire U.S. elites have overestimated the strength and execution. And the editorial went on to say there's no way for the U.S. to rebuild the hegemony that elites in Washington picture. The globalization and democracy have dented the foundation for that hegemony. And the U.S. lacks the strength, will, and internal unity needed. In fact, the U.S. has found it difficult to subdue Iran and North Korea, and not to mention major countries like China. Washington cannot rule the world as an empire. Now, I agree with not wanting to rule the world as an empire, but what does it do to us? What does it do to us when we are not doing that? Because we've only lived in the last 100 years under the kind of cloud of not understanding what we're doing out in the world, not understanding what the CIA has been doing with all of their, let's say, banking coups. But I don't think we get what they've been doing. And then we have always lived over here inside this, more or less in our bubble, not really examining what life will be like if we were not in control. And we shouldn't be in control, but we're used to a life with it. Does that make sense? And I'm kind of wondering where all these changes take us and what's going to be going on with us, where it comes down to how it affects us in our family life, our daily life. That's always a question for me. And that one I'll probably ask Engdahl to explain. But as China's goal is to kind of get out from under that, and to be on top, and there's a race for intellectual property on who owns what. Remember the plane that went down? The Malaysia plane with all the patents? Do you remember that? A significant number of scientists who own the patents, you know, the people involved with that? Kind of interesting. As you look back in the headlines, go back and try and look at how much was based on data and AI, and how much a part of our future that will become. And look for the revolutions, because the revolutions are a big tell that the CIA has been very, very busy. And I hate saying that, because I want to think that there's white hats in the CIA that might not understand to the gravity, or might not be in on a lot of the projects that are being done. But when we seek to make CIA agents elected officials, which I don't think they should be, when we seek to just sort of give them this overall vote of approval because it's the CIA, and for some reason there are people out there still that think that they can be trusted as an organization, I think they've been working against the interests of the United States. I know we always say we're working in interest, so that's why they're out doing these things, but it works against actually our interests because they work at the behest of the elite, which are not for American liberty at its core. Even talking to Daniel Estulin, when I interviewed him, it was like, look, we're not going in the direction that Americans think we're going, and we better wake up, and we better wake up to all the alliances going on right now and who owns what and what's going to be happening in our world. And so not to be a Debbie Downer on a Friday, not to be, but we have put our head in the sand for so long on this that we don't even recognize, I think, or there's a multitude of people out there that don't recognize the consistency within how the CIA has operated all these years and what they've accomplished. And I don't mean accomplishment as a compliment, to the detriment of other nations and to the detriment of our own. And that's the problem. When Pompeo was saying we lie, cheat, and steal, we don't think that comes back to bite us. We don't think that that's going to come back to us. Of course it's going to. You can't exhibit those behaviors as an organization over and over and over again and not have it bite us. And we're so used to not having it bite us that I'm just sort of wondering what this is going to look like. We have lots of things going on right now. When you see strange arrests and all kinds of things, and even things in this country. I mean, we could talk about Assange for hours just because, there's a lot there we could talk about too. Maybe we'll hit it in the next. But there's just we have a crisis of foreign policy. We have a crisis of foreign actions and military actions. And the fact that we're in Africa right now in 13 nations in Africa conducting military actions, and we don't even know what we're doing over there. We can't even name it. Can you imagine during the time of World War II if Americans wouldn't have known where we were fighting and what we were doing and what we were fighting for? And we just were surprised that they were over there, that people were being called over there? Of course not. We wouldn't have stood for it. We wanted to know. And we were even lied to about that to a certain extent. So who was behind that? Who was funding it? And so forth. But we don't, for some reason, in the last, maybe because we've had military actions now continuously since the inception of the UN, since that time period in our country, maybe we just don't question it anymore because we don't feel it here. Maybe. I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess that's probably why. We felt World War II. We haven't been feeling these military actions, except for those in the military and their families that are hugely affected. We haven't felt them as much. And the elites in the deep state get to profit off all of it and get to have the show go their way. But the American people, I wonder what's ahead. And look for those two things in countries where actions are about to take place, because it's kind of scary what keeps cropping up. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show with Susan Reeb and then, of course, Glenn Tate, our author of 299 Days. What happens when a big, huge thing happens? How do people come together? How do people come together when stuff's wiped out from an earthquake or whatever you want to say on that? Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.